So here we are, 19 days into the new school year. Have you learned anything? Have you experienced any successes? Of course you have. You've already advanced in your understanding of a variety of different disciplines and subjects. You have achieved success to one degree or another in some aspect of your life. You've undoubtedly attained some goal, albeit small, between the beginning of the school year and today. So, who gets the credit for your success in learning, or for your success in anything else that you've done? Different people have different answers to that question, and one such answer I saw this past summer on the back of a t-shirt. Allow, if you will, to tell you a little bit about a family trip that we took to a zoo. It was while we were there at the animal park that I saw some attention-grabbing words on someone's back. Someone who was apparently a teacher. The wording was bold. Bold enough that it prompted me to take a picture of it. And here it is. I realize that you probably can't read that very well from where you are sitting. This 4x6 is way too small for this big building. That's fitting, actually, because this picture portrays a perspective of which the Lord thinks very little. Parading through the zoo was this sentiment: proud to be 100% responsible for success at Cypress Elementary. I don't know who the person is that was wearing that shirt, nor do I know where Cypress Elementary is, but that which is recognizable in this photograph is the humanistic point of view, which is very prevalent, that believes that we are personally responsible for work skillfully done, and that we are to be credited with success wherever it is found. That perspective dates back way earlier than t-shirts came onto the scene, of course. It was present, for example, when the building of the Tower of Babel was attempted. It was heard in such things as the words of notorious King Nebuchadnezzar. We're told that one day as he was viewing the city in which he lived, he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Patting oneself on one's back comes very naturally to us because of our self-absorbed sinful nature. We are quick and inclined to take credit for successes in the realms of things physical and even in the realm of things spiritual. The Pharisee in the parable, by way of illustration, seemed to have taken credit for what he viewed as being spiritual successes in his life, even though he used God's name. We're told that he stood and prayed thus with himself: "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector." 100% responsible for success. We like to think so, but that's not the case. Hear what a difference exists in the Spirit-inspired viewpoint of the Apostle Paul as he expressed it in his first letter to the Corinthians. "I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Who could possibly be viewed as being more successful in life than the Apostle Paul? He successfully established Christian congregations around the Mediterranean world. He stood up to kings when unjustly put on trial. He cast out demons with forceful command. He silenced his adversaries with inspired writings, letters. And yet, how did he view himself? As a clay pot, an earthen vessel, nothing more than an instrument through whom God was at work. "We do not preach ourselves," he said, "but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul experienced tremendous successes in life, but he didn't view them as his own. He saw them as successes through which the power of God had shone, and so he was quick to give God the credit, an activity to which our Lord Jesus himself directs us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, Jesus said, further explaining that we are merely branches on the divine vine. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Now, does this create a problem? Is such a message demoralizing? Does the fact that God is the one who brings about any successes in our lives something that zaps us of motivation to even try? Regardless of our role as teacher or student or some other type of servant? Yeah, it does zap our old Adam of motivation. For our proud, sinful nature wants to take credit for anything positive and likes to receive the glory for anything beneficial. The flesh thinks, if I'm not going to get credit, why try? But the new man is energized by the thought of being an instrument in the hands of our great and gracious God. Paul, again, look how hard he worked. No one was more determined to really pour himself into his labors and his calling than Paul, and yet he wasn't interested in taking credit for the success. The new man is motivated to action, not by pride, but by love. Wherever there is love for our Heavenly Father and thankfulness for the fact that he sent his Son to be our Savior, there is renewed zeal and energy and activity. Where there is love for our fellow human beings, there will be an active desire to share what we have received so that they too might receive the benefits. A commentator named Gregory Lockwood made some interesting comments that I found helpful here. While it was no empty boast, but the simple truth that he had labored harder than anyone else, Paul refrains from continuing in this vein, lest anyone think he wanted the credit for himself. No, he says that the grace of God that was with him was the master workman laboring alongside him. All the glory belonged to God alone and to Christ, who had worked in him and through him. Apart from God's grace in Christ, Paul knew he could accomplish nothing. As one commentator aptly observes, the apostle's satisfaction with his own labors, from a human point of view, is as the joy of a child who gives his father a birthday present out of his father's own money. When the new man strives for something and achieves success, he happily turns around and gives God the credit, recognizing that the Lord is the one who brings about any good thing in our life, just as that proverbial child happily gives to a parent a present for which that parent paid. 100% responsible for success. There is a back on which those words are properly placed, the Lord's. May we learn to recognize that to be the case and to find joy in the fact that he lets us ride on his shoulders, happily leading us to the sweet successes which he so graciously brings about. Hymn 780 was originally written, it appears, with those in the pastoral ministry in mind, but verse 3 has application to Christians in whatever their calling might be. Hymn 780, stanza 3.